fun over the summer, you may want to check out the RCMP Heritage Center in Regina. We're joined right now by Sam Karakas, who is the CEO of the RCMP Heritage Center. Hey, Sam, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for having me.
How did the Canada Day celebrations at the RCMP Heritage Center go?
Oh, it was fabulous. We had thousands of people joining us, celebrating Canada, you know, taking photos with Monty the Moose and getting their faces painting and enjoying popcorn and the weather and each other.
So for people that have never been to the RCMP Heritage Center, I see you guys have made it as one of the top five attractions in Regina. What's so special about it?
You know, we're completely unique. We're the only place in Canada that can tell this part of Canadian history. Of course, located on depot property right beside the Historic Training Academy that's still active today for the RCMP. And we're just a fabulous building. We have a lot of programs going on and a lot of things to see and do.
What are some of the displays that you've got that I can see when I come?
So the galleries themselves tell the history of the RCMP, about 151 years now of the history of the RCMP, through the years, beginning as the Northwest Mounted Police and on as the the RCMP. We have things like uniforms, we have things like, you know, tools of the trade, historic artifacts, medals and badges and all that cool stuff.
Okay, you got to bear with me here, but do you have guns and handcuffs too?
You know, if you come through, you might see some of those tools of the trade.
You know, it really is interesting, the history of the RCMP and the Northwest Mounted Police. I recently, my wife and I did a road trip down to Cypress Hills and checked out Fort Walsh and that. And you just love seeing the history, the story of the Northwest Mounted Police, the Redcoat Trail across the southern part of our province. And of course, everything that the Mounties have become in our country in the 151 years. One thing that caught my eye, I'm a little disappointed in this, Sam. I see you have a forensic camp and police-related investigator camp, and this is just for kids? I can't go to something like this?
You know, we'll make a special exception.
I'm a big kid. I'm a big kid. That's cool. So what do the kids do at these camps?
Yeah, so they do, you know, we have lots of activities that range from hands-on activities, physical activities, crafts. We really keep the kids busy in a lot of different ways. And so it appeals to a lot of different, you know, kids are into different things. Some people like to do the physical stuff. Some kids like to do the arts and crafts more. So we have a wide range of it. And of course, the themes are Detective Academy and Forensics Lab. So there is an element of problem solving, investigating, kind of a child-friendly version of what it would look like to kind of solve a case.
Oh, that's cool. I bet a lot of kids would love that. Do you have a lot of youngsters that are able to go to this, or is it pretty limited?
Spots are limited. However, we do still have some space. We have a availability in both camps still, but mm-hmm. It's just a matter of calling in to see which ones we have availability for.
Any age groups that we want to think about for that?
Yeah, Detective Academy, we have it ages 6 to 10, and then Forensics Lab, we have it ages 9 to 12. So if you have a child or a pair of siblings that are in that either age range, you can work with our programming team, and they'll kind of help you decide which might be the better fit, or your child can go to both.
How long do these camps last?
They last for the week.
And all summer, or just the one-off?
So we've got four of them. We've got one that starts July 21st, one that starts July 28th, one that starts August 5th, and then August 11th is the last one.
Oh, man, that sounds so fun. I bet a lot of kids would want to be part of that. And anyone listening right now can, again, check out the RCMP Heritage Center. Sam Karakas is the CEO of the center. Now, you guys are trying to get the center set up as a national museum. Why are you doing that, and what's involved with the process?
Yeah, so it would be a great honor for us to become a national museum. There are only 9 national museums, and only 2 of those are outside of the national capital region. So if we were to become a national museum, we would be only the 3rd outside of Ottawa and only the 2nd in the West. It's a really prestigious honor to be a national museum. Obviously, you become a museum that is mandated to be a place for all Canadians. And we really feel the unique history of the RCMP being tied to kind of the beginnings of Canada. There's a lot of rich history there. You know, some stories that are incredibly inspiring and some that are a lot more complex. And we think it would be a great opportunity for Canada and the world to learn about this part of Canadian history.
What's your favorite part of the Heritage Centre and your work there?
What I really like is just how there are so many individuals who have decided to become RCMP members in their lifetime. Mm-hmm. It is a far-reaching service to our community. And I really love those individual stories of the folks who have dedicated their lives in service to the communities.
That's nice. Now, I understand with the RCMP Heritage Center, part of the events that I can be part of, we get to tour some areas of depot itself?
Yeah, so we have depot tours that go on in the summer months. What we do is for your cost of admission, you get a depot tour, and then you also get admission into the galleries. We take you on a trolley over to depot, and you get to actually, we tour depot, and you get to actually watch the cadets in their Sergeant Major's parade. So you get to see the cadets in their active training.
Oh, that sounds cool. So what are your hours for the RCMP Heritage Center?
Our hours right now are summer hours, so we're open from 10 a.m. until 5 p.m.
Excellent. Sounds like a fascinating place to visit. And as we were saying, it's been rated the RCMP Heritage Center in Regina, one of Regina's top five tourist attractions. Sam Karakas is the CEO there. Sounds like you got an interesting summer ahead of you, Sam. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Evan Bray Show continues on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Good morning, Brent Lux, filling in, Evan Bray Show, here till 12:30 today. I'm back in tomorrow, then the voice of Saskatchewan himself, Evan Bray, will be in the chair here come Monday. Boy, we've had a lot of people weighing in on the whole vehicle inspection process. It all started with the story from the NDP saying they think the vehicles inspections for out-of-province vehicles coming into Saskatchewan should be done away with. We had our guest on, Matt Britton, from SGI, explaining why they do the vehicle inspections, and it was twofold, basically. Your safety, your road safety, and the second one being fraud. Concerns about vehicle identification numbers maybe being changed, just ways to keep an eye on these vehicles that are coming into the province. Now, you know, there's also the argument could be made, well, gee, there's a lot of clunkers that people are driving in Saskatchewan. They don't get inspected. And that's true. And some provinces you do have to, on a regular basis, get your vehicle inspected. I don't think that's necessarily a bad idea, but politically, I don't think anybody's going to be pushing that as an option here in Saskatchewan anytime soon. When you're spending $200 or so just on the inspection, and then whatever work has to be done, you got to get that done. And then because you bought a vehicle, a used vehicle, then you pay the PST on it as well. Yeah, good times. But I want to thank listener Sean, who actually sent me a copy of the SGI light vehicle inspection form. It's the certificate. And it's kind of interesting. Although my eyesight's not real good and it's fairly small print, but I'll do my best here. There are 81 items on this checklist that a mechanic will go through at one of these certified SGI garages that do this. The largest number of them relate to items in the driver's compartment. There are a number of items, 14 of them, in the body exterior. And so I was saying to the one gentleman who called in saying that he was surprised that they had called out a dent in his vehicle when he got the inspection and it had to be repaired. And I was surprised. Cosmetic issues are considered, but apparently they are. And maybe that has to do something with vehicle valuation. You know, if you're bringing a vehicle into the province, it's expected to have a certain value, a red book value. And so maybe SGI is saying, well, listen, if you want to get that value on it, if something were to happen to your vehicle, you were in an accident, we want to make sure that it was in its most saleable state. Does that make sense? You understand what I'm saying? So maybe that's why they're saying some of these body exterior things have to be taken care of. There are also a significant number of items, 44 through 68. So what do we got? 24 items related to a vehicle's undercarriage. And then it looks like there's about 10 or 11 items related to the engine compartment. And then there are a couple of items related to the wheel alignment on a vehicle. So it looks like, if I'm assuming here, this is what every garage that does these would follow these 81 items. And they make the call then. They would let you know. They would do a report up and say, okay, we went through all these 81 items on your vehicle. You're good to go. Or here's some items that you need to spend some money on to fix them. And then you would have to get that work done. And as our guest, Matt Britton, said, you know, potentially you might get it done at that very garage, or you may take it somewhere else. But at the end of the day, when you get the work done, you still have to get an inspection to make sure it's good to go now on the road. A lot of people weighing in on it at 1-877-332-8255. Roger says, I've had a few out-of-province vehicles. He says, you really have to do your own mini inspection before you buy these vehicles. He says, I guarantee you'll need to put some parts into them. Lots of Saskatchewan vehicles out there, he said, just buy in Saskatchewan and you don't have to worry about it. Yeah, but you still got to pay the PST. I know, I keep going back to that, right? Are we ever going to win this battle? 1-877-332-8255. Sean says he thinks some of these shops take advantage of people. Says, I bought a truck with 50,000 K on it from Edmonton. And to get the safety, they told me my front end was wore out and was going to cost $3,500 to rebuild it. I took it to a Dodge dealership and everything was within spec. So from my experience, I think some of these inspectors are just a cash grab for some shops if people aren't aware and would just pay the repairs without a second opinion. And that really applies to anything, whether you're dealing with an SGI inspection or you're just getting work done on your own vehicle. Gosh, you know, we've all heard horror stories over the years that if you get an assessment of something that's wrong with your vehicle, don't be shy about saying, you know, I'm going to get a second opinion. I'm going to take it to such and such. And if you're smart, you have a good mechanic. You know, somebody from your years of owning vehicles. I know I got a guy. A lot of people have a guy. So whatever one particular garage may tell you, there's nothing wrong with saying, you know, I'm going to take some time. But I know at the same time, we're all busy. We just want it fixed. We want our car back on the road. We don't want the hassle. So sometimes you may just say, fine, I'll pay it. Let's go. 1-877-332-8255. I see Marv is patiently hanging on the phone line here with some thoughts on this. Hey, Marv.
Hey, good morning.
What are you thinking?
Well, I'd like to go back in history before the inspections came.
Yep.
Safety, you can't fool around with. Airbags, when they went off, they could cut the old bag out, fill it with insulation foam, fold it back over, and it was good. Okay? And they would fill quarter panels or fenders with newspaper and Bondo and paint over it, and they'd be done it in half a day.
Yeah.
So, like, having said that, now, vehicles have crush zones. And if there's minor rust, It affects that crush zone's effectiveness.
Sure.
If there's still kinks in the front frame, rad support, and stuff like that, it affects the crush zone. So that's part of the history, and I don't know when it came in, when the inspections came in. Everybody thought it was ludicrous, but it was a safeguard for people buying in a vehicle. Now, the inspection that you can get online that gives you the history of a vehicle.
The Carfax? Yeah.
Not everybody puts their claims through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and one of the worst case scenarios is water damage. Now, water damage, if you get to it soon enough, you can flush your engine and it'll run. Okay, you do an oil drain, whatever, it'll run. But then those contact points, the fuse panel and everything like that, over time and not very long, a year or two, that corrosion sets in, and the whole vehicle is scrap weight.
You make some really good points, Marv, and I like what you were saying about how what some people may say is a cosmetic fix really has to do with more the integrity of the vehicle to help keep you safe if you're indeed involved in an accident. And I could understand why SGI would say you got to make that right before we're going to give you a registration for that.
Oh, absolutely. It's not a bad thing at all.
Marv, I appreciate your call. Some good points there from Marv on the phone from Regina. And, you know, you talk about water. Remember... what was the hurricane? New Orleans and Katrina. Yeah, Hurricane Katrina. And the hundreds and hundreds of cars that came out of that, you know, and you'd hear stories about people, you know, all over the United States think they got a great deal on a used car. And then they start doing some work inside of it and they're finding all this water damage and yeesh. Yeah, and there's always people that are out there that'll try to take advantage of it. And that's exactly what Matt Britton had referred to. He said, listen, the reason that SGI wants these inspections done, one is safety. So you're safe on the roads and other drivers are safe on the roads. And he said the second thing is fraud. Now, he mentioned, you know, making sure that the vehicle identification number hasn't been changed. But I'm guessing that fraud would also involve work that's been done to a vehicle and it remains unsafe, that it's been involved in an accident. Like one of our listeners said, they had a situation with a vehicle that they found out after the fact that it was two vehicles that had basically been welded together. They made one vehicle out of two. And that's the kind of stuff that it would be the integrity of that vehicle that would put you at risk if you were involved in an accident. Everybody wants to save a few bucks. I get that. But safety is paramount. Good conversation on this topic today. Thanks for everybody who's called in and texted as well. Can always hear from you if you got time at 1-877-332-8255. We're coming up on the top of the hour. So your kids, what are they going to be doing for the summer? Spending more time on their phone? We've got a psychologist who is going to join us here after 11 o'clock. Hopefully some good advice on helping your youngsters build healthy phone habits. I think it's something I should be listening to myself as well when I look at how much time a week I spend on my phone. I got to get a life. It's the Evan Bray Show. Brent Laux with you on CKOM and CJME.